For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Good morning, welcome, and happy Thanksgiving, or Thanksgiving weekend. I want to talk today about the practice of Thanksgiving, gratitude and generosity, or dana, which is the first of the bodhisattva transcendent practices. But generosity is informed by gratitude, so Thanksgiving is a wonderful Buddhist practice. So I think of this as an American Buddhist holiday. It was my favorite holiday as a child. And actually, I spent a number of summers as a child on Cape Cod and had a chance to go to Plymouth and see Plymouth Rock and where the pilgrims were, and that whole mythology. And in terms of history, this is not a holiday for us to really celebrate historically. The pilgrims ended up destroying the Native American peoples who helped them survive. And for many Native indigenous people in America, this is a holiday that commemorates the disaster in the beginning of genocide, or almost genocide. It's wonderful and sort of miraculous that there are Native spiritual traditions which have survived. So I could say a lot more about, you know, even just in New England, the horrible things that were done, much less in the rest of the country. But I also want to focus on appreciation of Thanksgiving as a practice and as a harvest holiday. We harvest all of the, you know, this season, this harvest season. We can also harvest all the things and remember the things that we can be thankful for, the good things in our lives. One of the things that Buddhist practice emphasizes is contentment. Using and enjoying that which we have, all the things we have to be grateful for. This goes against at least parts of our culture, that the consumerism that encourages desire and neediness, which leads to great suffering, and the hungry ghost world, wanting more and more and more. Consumerism leads to that, thinking we need to get all the things on the television commercials and all that. And part of that is the kind of rapacious exploitation of the resources of the world. And so we have, to some significant extent, fossil fuel companies and weapons companies running our governments. Didn't start with our current president, but he's made it more explicit in terms of appreciating Saudi Arabia despite the murder of the recent journalist and recently in the genocide they're committing in Yemen. But they buy lots of weapons from American weapons companies, so that's what's really important. Anyway, so that's the dark side of non-contentment. But in terms of Buddhist practice, to appreciate all of the things of the world that are wonderful, and there are, all the things in our own lives that are beautiful. So contentment leads to being happy with what is, as opposed to needing endless growth. Gratefulness. So the word thanksgiving as a word, you know, starts with thanks, with gratitude, with gratefulness. That's not in the lists of bodhisattva practices or precepts, but it's kind of fundamental. Part of what our zazen, our zazen is complicated. And in some ways it's very simple. I'm just sitting, facing the wall, facing ourselves, feeling what it feels like to be this person, this time, right here, now, on our cushions this morning, on our seats this morning, and paying attention, feeling what we feel and seeing all the thoughts going through, and just this, the part of that, you know, we can feel the discontent and the suffering in our own lives and in the world, the dissatisfactoriness in our own lives and the things in the world that are that cause harm. But in the middle of that, just being present and upright, we also doing this practice regularly, we also start to appreciate our gifts, the gifts that we each have, the gifts that have been given to us by the people in our lives, by our world. The gift of Lake Michigan, the gift of the prairies and the wooded spaces in Chicago, the gifts of kindness and generosity. So this gratefulness is really entwined with giving. It is because we feel gratitude that then we want to respond and express that. So this zazen is an expressive practice. We share zazen heart and mind in our everyday life, in our attempts to respond to difficulties in the world and in with the people we come in contact with. And part of Thanksgiving is to appreciate the limitation of our generosity. We don't always know how to help or what to give. Sometimes it's a struggle to know what, if when we want to give a gift to someone, well, what would they really appreciate? What would really be a gift for that person? Sometimes we receive gifts that we aren't necessarily totally grateful for. So, you know, it's a challenge. It's a practice, Thanksgiving. How do we feel, how do we uncover that gratitude? And then how do we express that generosity as a response and as integrally part of the gratitude? So, you know, there are material gifts, but there are also other gifts, like kind speech. So to speak kindly about someone, even when they're not present, benefits them. That's maybe a strange statement, but that's part of Buddhist teaching, that of kind speech. Of course, to speak kindly to someone who's present, you know, oh, we feel good when somebody says something kind and appreciative. And so this is a kind of practice of generosity. This is part of the spirit of generosity. So Dogen says that to offer flowers from a distant hillside to the Buddha is generosity, is giving. So I give you all Lake Michigan, and to everybody listening, so people listen to our podcasts in distant states. But there's Lake Michigan, not so far from where we're sitting. That's wonderful. It's a great lake. And we can dedicate our practice of zazen to all beings. We can practice this sometimes uncomfortable practice, upright sitting. We can practice this as a gift to the other people in our lives and to the people in North Center Chicago and to the people on the South Side of Chicago and to, you know, people we know all over. How do we dedicate our practice? So it's this Zazen sitting, while it does benefit us in terms of helping us to develop some sense of calm and wholeness and uprightness and appreciation of our lives, also, we don't do it just for ourselves. It's not just a self-help practice, as I say many times. But how do we dedicate our practice to all beings? And, you know, I want to hereby dedicate the wonderfulness of this little storefront temple and the Sendo to all beings. To all the beings who have ever been in the Sendo, and to all the beings who haven't been in the Sendo, may it be of a gift to everyone. And I appreciate that, especially as we are preparing in January to celebrate 10 years of sitting in this Sendo. That's wonderful. That's a great gift. So, you know, the other thing about gratitude and generosity is that it's a circle. There's a feedback loop. We receive gifts and are grateful, and we give to others, and others give to us. And this giving, happens. This generosity, the spirit of generosity, encourages others, as we express it, encourages others to express it, and as they express it, it encourages us to express it. So giving is not, we talk about giver, receiver, and gift in our meal chant. So part of the practice of generosity, of giving, is to receive and to appreciate and to be thankful for what we receive, and then we give. So it's this circle, the practice of dana, or generosity. We also need to be generous to ourselves, to see that we're not separate from others, that we can pass along the gift. But also, you know, part of giving to others is taking care of ourselves for the sake of others and for the sake of ourselves. To just use the benefits of this practice to appreciate ourselves. So practicing kindness creates a world of gratitude, and then a world of giving. And there are all kinds of different givings. But appreciating the things that we have to be grateful for gives us energy to respond and give of ourselves, for ourselves, to ourselves, and to all others, to see how we might respond to what needs to be changed. So the Buddhist practice of contentment doesn't mean ignoring the difficulties in the world. So we live now in a time where there's great hatred and aggression in many different ways in our society, in the world. But then how do we even appreciate that as a gift? Because that gives us the opportunity to make efforts to respond. We don't know exactly what to do, but we don't always know what is the right gift to give to somebody in particular. But our appreciation and our attention to the realities of our world, to not turn away from that, but to be able to open-heartedly face the difficulties as well as the joys, gives us the possibility to help contribute to a world of cooperation rather than hatred and aggression, to seeing togetherness instead of separation or combativeness as the gift that gives to all of us. So this is, so I've been talking about the possibilities and the promises of thanksgiving as a practice, gratitude and generosity, and how they work together. So I want to, we will have time for comments, discussion, responses, your reflections. I also, you know, this is a time when commonly we remember that which we have to be thankful for. So, I'm personally very grateful for this wonderful Sangha. So many aware, lively, talented, gracious people who come here. Different people on different Sundays or Mondays or Tuesdays or Wednesdays or Thursdays. All of them. I'm so grateful for. We have been doing this together here for almost 10 years now. I'm also grateful to all those who, in these dangerous times, speak truth to power in whatever way they are moved to, that we respond to the powers in our world that encourage hatred and aggression, and speak up for kindness, and speak against harm, speak for helpfulness. So there are many, many, many people in our country and throughout the world who are doing that. Usually that's not what's on the front page of the newspapers or the headlines, but there are many, many people doing that in different ways, and it will help make a change. And we need that change. So I'm very grateful to them. I'm grateful to, you know, all the people in this room individually, and if I start going around the room, I'll pass on that, but thank you all for being here. Personally, I'm very grateful to be in Chicago. It's almost 12 years since I escaped from California and settled here, and I'm really happy to be here. I'm personally grateful to my wife Naomi and our kittens, Bessie and Billy, and to all the random acts of kindness that happen all around us, and to the beauty in the world. So that's what I wanted to say as an appreciation for Thanksgiving. But if any of you have any comments about the joys or challenges of the practice of Thanksgiving, of gratitude and generosity, or if you have those who you want to express your personal thankfulness for, please feel free. So, comments, responses. Thank you all. Please. And I'm also grateful for silence. Kathy.
Thank you for your talk. As I was thinking about your history of our country and then thinking about ourselves. You know, I was thinking about this practice, we in sitting, we become more aware. You know, sometimes I can sit and my mind's whirling and I'm not even here in this spot. And sometimes I can actually be here. Or anyway, the idea of an ongoing meditation practice being one where we become aware of ourselves and aware of when we're present and when we're totally not. You know, as well as when we can be rude or hurtful or totally ignore students as pain or be oblivious or, you know, that we, it's like there's a burning through of trying to become more aware of those things. And it feels to me like maybe our nation is going through something similar, you know.
Yeah.
Say there's a usually track progression, but it seems to me that that's an organism, that there's a progression to it, that it's more of a group process of trying to bring some of the same attributes to us as a group that would be an initiative. And that is an easier way for me to think about it, because I don't become so totally hopeless and
thank you. Yeah, just to follow up and add to what you've said, I think, you know, to reference, you know, the myth of Thanksgiving and the pilgrims at Plymouth Rock and all that, and the history of the appropriation of native lands and native peoples and the horrible destruction of Native American peoples and culture, you know, is to reference 1620 was the when they landed at Plymouth Rock. So we're talking about a long period of time. That's 400 years. And so this collective karma takes a long time to work out. We have urgent problems, climate and nuclear weapons, for example, right now, that are urgent and existential. But also there's this working out of collective karma that does take time. And so we're all part of that in the little bits of time that we have to be here and to be generous. So, yeah, recognizing all of that and that it's not hopeless. Feeling despair is not accurate. We can do things to help and to make a difference. Thank you, Kathy. Other comments? Yes, Nicholas.
I'm so grateful for this song. Before you were giving the talk, I was sitting here feeling my gratitude for the song and thinking, you know, I really want to become a monthly supporter.
You may do that. You may do that.
I'm going to. And I'm doing it out of this sense of deep, deep appreciation for, I don't know if I've been coming here for 10 years, but, you know, I've been coming here for many years, you know, since probably the near beginning. And I just want to see this place flourish, and I know that that takes money, and I'm just going to be happy to do that. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You just made Douglas happy. Yes, Phyllis.
Thank you very much for the wonderful talk. And I also want to echo what you just said. What you said, how this Sangha is really special and there's many things to be grateful for. about us having a place to come together. But I especially want to point out one thing that I am grateful for this Sangha is that I think it put in a lot of thoughts and energy into creating opportunity to ask me for help. And having practiced in other Sangha, I understand that it actually takes a lot of work to organize volunteers, to organize events, even weekly events.
And yes, it does.
And it takes a lot of people who are willing to say, yes, it's important for this event to happen, but it's also important for us to give other opportunity to help us make this event happen. Volunteering opportunity doesn't just happen when someone say, oh, we need someone to help. Because volunteers need help too.
Yes.
And for me, I'm really appreciative how Ancient Dragon make it very easy to become a volunteer so that I can practice my generosity. I can practice giving. So in the same vein, and sometimes we have to remind myself to be grateful for those who ask me for help. Mm-hmm. For people who are struggling to open the door, and I get a chance to jump out and hold the door for them. Mm-hmm. Did I
Good example.
That grateful mind for them instead of saying, good job for them. it's something I need to remind myself to be always grateful for those who need help.
Thank you, well said. Other comments? Yes, Chris.
First of all, I am very grateful for this content, this celebration. I only discovered it fairly recently, but it's just on the subject of the rapaciousness of consumerism with Black Friday just behind us, I've been thinking a lot recently about several of the things that I have clothing wise sort of been wearing out and been sort of in the process of trying to retool the clothing that I have. And I've been finding it's been an interesting thought process of walking around Chicago and thinking about how do I walk the line of wanting to, I necessarily must, engage with the marketplace.
Sure.
To get things to, like, for the winter and so on. And I would really love to. It's been very important for me to find groups or businesses that are as responsible as possible, and so that we are looking for as ethical as possible in this system. Maybe things that are maybe small run or whatever, they're trying to do as much work as possible to make things sustainable and so on. But those things are necessarily significantly more expensive, or maybe are nicer, last longer. So there's this feeling of I want to support these groups or businesses, but that is, by the same token, taking money away from helping others. So it's this sort of trying to figure out how to get the things that I need, I guess. Versus using that money elsewhere. What is the most responsible thing? Because if I spent less money on, say, clothing, for example, I maybe would be endorsing business practices that I think are important. just sort of how do I utilize the financial resources that I have.
Right. Yeah, thank you. That was a wonderful meditation on the complexities of the practice of thankful giving, of generosity. Generosity isn't, so to say a kind word may be simple, and thank you for your expression of that, but it's a challenging practice. It's not a how to be generous, you know, as you were just saying, is complicated, and especially when we focus on the limitations of resources, but just in general, how do we balance out when and how to be generous, and what does it mean to be generous in a given situation? This is not just a matter of course. It's actually a practice. It's actually something we have to sit with, pay attention to. The easiest example is homeless people on the street. Do we give something or not? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But the examples you gave are very good. It's a challenge. It's a practice. It's something we need to. It's an ongoing, lifelong practice. How to be generous? So one side is to be effective, and that's what you were talking about. What is the most effective way to be generous? The other side is just the spirit of generosity and being kind and giving people what they think they want, even if we're not sure if it's going to be good for them. You know. So anyway, it's a complicated practice. It's an actual ongoing practice, thankful giving. So thank you, Chris. Yes, hi. It's good to see you again. Hi.
I wanted to say, first of all, thanks to this Sangha, which first introduced me to Buddhism 4 years ago. So I practiced here for about 2 years and kind of fell into the Vipassana group where I've been practicing for the last 2 years. But I had a strong urge to come back. And much as we have to watch out for our urges and attachments, I was hoping to participate perhaps in both communities, just to whatever extent I can.
There are other people here who do that in both of those communities.
But the other very brief thing I just want to mention also in terms of giving thanks is that I have a very strong urge to do something about global warming.
Good.
Which really has been so disturbing to all of us. And but I didn't know really what to do. I don't know what, I hadn't really a clue of how I could contribute in some way. You know, could I write things? Would I be part of some local group that might... So I wrote some emails to various groups, local groups, and many of them called me or sent me email responses. And it really occurred to me in the responses how much is really going on. I mean, it's like, you know, you begin to become interested almost in a sort of naive way, very overwhelmed, and then you recognize, my gosh, there are literally millions of people. There's hardly a school that isn't touched, a university, a business, a church, whatever. You know, I mean, it's incredible. And it occurred to me a lot of what, very likely what I probably would be end up doing would be being part of some local group that does something to reduce our carbon footprint in some way. And it's that whole transformation of communities on a very local level. You know, not that we don't also require the involvement of governments and so on as well. You know, it obviously would be something that requires an effort on many levels. But it did make me feel a little better, even though I have a feeling we're probably even understating the dangers ahead of us.
Yes.
But nonetheless, just that feeling that there are probably tens of millions of us, you know, engaged in trying to do something, really provided a very profound sense of gratitude for the people who've been doing this for years, when I haven't. I'm very ashamed to say, other than personal ways, maybe being a little less consumerist in some way, whatever it might be. So I just wanted to express thanks as well for all those people who are doing something.
Thank you very much. I could give several Dharma talks about, and have partially, but climate chaos now is not just theoretical. Fires all over California, enhanced horrible storms and flooding in the southeast. I think what we may end up seeing is polar vortexes as the Arctic heats up, driving I don't know if we're going to have an ice age in Chicago, but anyway, there's going to be, there's already significant damage to agriculture around the world. The refugee situation from Central America, as well as the effects of our government sponsoring and supporting terrible governments and the stupid war on drugs down there. Part of it is climate damage, that the coffee crop has not been doing well in Central America, so that people in the countryside are going to the cities where they get caught up in gangs. So all the refugees from Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador are trying to escape a terrible, horrible, violent situation, partly caused by climate damage. And recent reports, even from our current government, talk about the hundreds of billions of dollars this is all going to cost, more than that. It's really an existential crisis of will a habitat that supports human beings and other large animals survive? So, yeah, it's but to talk about all of it in that way encourages numbness and despair and feeling hopeless, and that's not accurate. There are lots of, partly in response to what's becoming more and more obvious, and the fossil fuel companies have known about this since the mid-70s, and I've just heard that they knew about it even in the 50s, what was going to happen. So I can talk about all that. But there are people in this Sangha who are working on these things. One, what you might consider working with Chicago350.org, which is working on divestments of fossil fuel investments. That's one strategy. And we're going to make an announcement later about something our Sangha is going to do to try and help support solar. So, well, maybe I'll say it now. Even in the middle of our year-end fundraising letter, which provides our budget for the whole year, we are going to try and raise $700 to support two minority people to a jobs program to develop skill in solar panels and solar installations. So, you know, there are lots of, so that's something you can contribute to. But anyway, lots of people in our Sangha are trying to work on this in various levels. And so thank you for mentioning it and giving me a chance to give my little talk about that. So thank you. And thank you for showing up again. I remember you, and it's you know, one of the things I'm grateful for about this Sangha is that there are many people here who have practiced or sometimes still do practice in other Buddhist and other religious spiritual traditions. I think that enriches what is here. So I can start going around the room and giving lots of examples, but other people here have practiced in the Vipassana community. People here have practiced with Rinzai Zen teachers. People here have practiced with other Soto Zen teachers. People here have practiced in martial arts traditions. Anyway, there's and in Korean lineage traditions. So this part of what I'm grateful for about this Sangha is that there's a kind of underlying body of real spiritual maturity and awareness based on that kind of interconnectedness. So we have time for one or two more comments. David?
I just want to have a song of spiritual gratitude today to Douglas, on being on the board, and to Gyoshin Yasmino, Paul S. Tenzo, and to Jane and Stephen, and all the other people who are on the long list and provide service to so many people that help make what we do possible. And I'd like to just express my gratitude to everyone for all the contributions, time-wise, energy-wise, that go into making this possible. So thank you. Thank you.
And thank you, David, for your steady attendance and helpfulness. Yes, Dylan.
I want to give thanks for an animal. About 10 years ago in New York, I hit a deer with a car and I killed it. And I'm grateful that that deer was here and is here. And I wanted to give the Zazen ticket to that deer for the Zazen ticket.
Thank you. Wonderful, wonderful expression of generosity. If there's one last comment or appreciation or shout out or whatever. Okay, well, thank you all very much. I'm grateful to each of you. And may we continue practicing generosity and feeling gratitude as we continue.